If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up, Unchainers? I am so exhausted. Last week, I spent 3 days hosting, moderating GDUX for 2020, and it was a major success. We had a lot of people with great feedback and unveiled the new set for GDUX, at least for this year, right? And if anything, future-related blue champs and what that looks like. If you're an audio listener, if you ever are bored and are YouTubing, you should check out GDUX. And if anything, you can check out the link to this episode, which is the Roundtable News episode, where we kind of, Ray and I kicked the set in before we used it for GDUX unofficially. So before the week before GDUX, we actually used the set to record the Roundtable News episode. So Game Dev Unchained will have its own dedicated set that will be under construction. It should be completed in about a few weeks. Give me some time. But that's going to be properly unveiled for next week's episode. So while you guys are listening to this, want to check it out, we do laugh about it a bit, like little schoolboys just giggling at how much fun we're having. But it is a dawn of a new era, man. If you have the time, go check it out in the link description of this podcast episode to see why we're laughing and having so much fun. So thank you guys for all the support. In addition, we are doing something fun this month as part of celebrating our new sponsors, Parsec, which you will hear a little bit later. We are giving away a Steam game limited at $60. We'll let you guys kind of decide what game you want. But the raffle is really simple. You know, if you first things you got to do is go over to gamedevunchained.com and sign up to the mailing list if you haven't already. Secondly, you would tag on Twitter at Blue Champs, BLUCHAMPS, and at Parsec Team, PARSEC Team. There are sponsors for this episode, and they're a remote desktop solution for teams across the world, but also for gamers who want to game together, but are not together within a room. So it's an actual really cool solution. So you guys go ahead and tag both of us, and by that time, give Parsec a whirl, man. It's free to download. Check it out. And you can even subscribe and upgrade to a better solution if you're an indie team or a AAA team looking to work through remote working. So again, if you want to enter a raffle to win a Steam game for this month of your choice, $60 limit, you want to tweet at Parsec Team, PARSEC Team, and at Blue Champs, BLUCHAMPS, about how you're loving Parsec and why you love it, right? So in all honesty, try it out. It's definitely worth your time. And I really do feel that you're going to see the usefulness of it. All that is available in the link description of this podcast episode. And good luck. So this is a fun episode, as always, a Roundtable News episode with Ray. It was great to kind of have him on because we kind of sat on the Unreal 5 engine reveal for a while. And it was awesome to have him on to kind of discuss what it means for game developers. Also, not to kind of just worship the future of game development. You know, we have really good games coming out right about now or a month from now, Last of Us 2. Current gen is just as exciting as next gen. And we spent a good amount of time discussing that as well. I hope everyone out there is safe amidst all the pandemic and protests. We hope here at the Blue Champs camp that you guys are practicing what you need to practice to be safe out there and lend a voice to anyone that isn't being heard. So we're in full support of what's going on right now. And hopefully you guys are able to find some peace in this time. All right, on to this week's episode. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained. I am your host, Brandon Pham. This is the number one game development podcast on game development and the lifestyle thereof. I did that out of order. So this, of course, if you've seen the title, it's a roundtable news episode, and it's a partnership as well. We are fresh from the GDUX event. No one knows when we actually recorded this. So as we get the Game Dev Unchained set up and running, we'll be kind of sitting here in quarantine, chilling out while that is constructed. So I have here, of course, my dear friend, a regular at the roundtable news table, Ray Graham. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, man, what's going on?
All right. So, Ray, as always, let me kind of, can you sneak my hand here? See, I got to stand up. Shit's slick. You know that's slick. So for people who are just listening to the podcast, you guys are missing out, man. This is the, every GDUX marks a new era of the Game Dev Unchained podcast. And, you know, since, we're getting some more production values. We're definitely investing in the right places here. So, Ray, as always, I kind of like to start these episodes, especially while we're still in COVID era. How are things, man, since the last month? Has things gotten better? The hiring process, all that stuff?
I mean, it's the same, man. You know, like I'm still, we're still hiring. Things that, all that stuff, work stuff is like, we're not missing a beat when it comes to work.
Yeah.
But, you know, being cooped up in the house and not being able to do stuff and or being able to do a few things, you know, go outside and stuff, but not really getting full freedom of movement is a pain in the ass right now at this point. I am definitely at this point now officially over it. Yeah. But, you know, I'm hanging in there, man. We're doing it. We're doing okay over here.
Yeah, I think the feeling the feeling is pretty mutual. I've been hearing the same from my friends, even when they were pretty much cool with the first month seeing it as a kind of like a welcome forced vacation, right? Unexpected vacation time, getting in touch with our feelings and family and relationship, and being a father or our wife again, or a mother. Mm-hmm. But it is at that breaking point where I'm starting to hear people going a bit crazy mentally, just feeling trapped inside the home. I'm pretty sure you're hearing the pressure. I don't know how serious you guys are locking down over there, but like at least on my side, family members or friends are getting more relaxed, and it's scary, but at the same time we're jealous of it too. It's like, oh man, they're all hanging out together now, and we're seeing the cases going up, and we're trying to like mindful, but at the same time it's very tough seeing that type of freedom that everyone's having and you're not really ready for that. Are you seeing the same
you can't
over
be
there?
Watching you can't be watching what everybody else is doing. You just gotta worry about what you got going on, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I think in the next month, you know, or not the next month, maybe going into June, you'll start seeing some easing up, right? In California things are opening up starting in June.
Yeah.
So it may be okay. It may be okay, or at least start getting better in the next few weeks. Yeah.
I hope so. People letting up is one thing, but I just feel like the measures in place aren't there yet for us to kind of get freely tested if we're worried, and the whole aftermath of actually being treated after you do get it. I feel like none of that is in place for step two. So the step one seems, even if they open things up, the cases everywhere, especially we live in California, in the Bay Area, I've been hearing a lot of cases just driving up, and then Orange County as well. Everything's trending up as expected.
Yeah. So. Although I heard just today, though, Orange County is like fully like restaurants are open and people are hanging out in Orange County. I was just hearing that today, that people are seeing a lot of that in Orange County specifically.
Yeah. I hear this. It's so stupid.
Does your chair have a thing to jack it up?
I know. This is as realistic as you can be, man. I'm having so much fun with these, with my new set, dude. It's hilarious. Just wait till I get the Ungated Unchained set, man. It's gonna be so funny. But anyways, going back
put,
to it,
you gotta put your face on the smaller monitor and then do that switch.
I know. It doesn't make any sense. I'm right here. I'm behind the table. Why would I put myself on the set just to talk to you? I mean, I can do things like this. It's so dumb. Oh, I'm gonna kill. Why? I'll kill myself.
Why am I associating myself with this right now? Why am I doing
this? Because it's hilarious, dude. Like I'm costumed up, man. People are gonna see a new brand going forward. So, anyways, on to the news. Right, the people listening are like, "What the hell are these guys talking about?" You know, really check out the video if you guys can. It's freaking hilarious. So the first thing I want to talk about in the last month. It's been, I feel like, a pretty slow month, just in terms of things that really stuck out. Unreal 5 just broke the internet, in my opinion, with their tech demo. You know, always blasting you on text, you know, sending you GIFs and all this stuff. I mean, it was insane. It was jaw-dropping. Even for me, I think we saw shortly before the Xbox event showing their next-gen game, and it was meh. You know, it was like kind of expected. It wasn't like a Quantum Leap type of kind of look, dev, right? But when the Unreal 5 showed that new type of thinking and basically changing the way we would work, it really got me excited and scared at the same time. So you being the graphical engineer out of the group and worked with plenty of engines and, of course, working with Unity, this is, again, expressing your own opinion. I want your opinion, Ray. I mean, what do you think about all that? So while you do that, I'll pull up the demo, get that plan.
No, I think, like, no doubt, it's incredible, right? Like, the tech is a feat. It's really, it's a lot of work that went into it, and it looks great. Like, there's no doubt here that it's really, really good looking, and it definitely sparked a lot of conversation on the internet. The marketing, you know, everybody's talking about it. Everybody was going crazy, and definitely all the artists that I know, all the modelers and environmental artists, and all of them were just immediately, oh my god, this is amazing. You know, what will happen with my workflow? How will I work? Oh my god, I can't wait, right? So everybody's like super excited about it, and it's great, you know, and it's a really good tech demo to show off that tech. PS5, I think it really shows the power, or what we could theoretically expect, you know, that we could pump out onto a PS5, and it really gets me excited about that. The amount of detail and amount of it's really the detail that I think is missing a lot of games, that it kind of shows off. So I think that's amazing. At the same time, though, you know, this is not planned to be out until like the end of 2021. Right. And there's still probably a lot of open questions and performance and like, how do you really make this content? What went into actually making that demo? How much work did it take? What the tools look like? What were the workflows? So there's a lot of unanswered questions around that part of it.
Some more time. I mean, the first question is, of course, I kind of know the answer, but I want to make it clear out there for people who haven't seen the demo, or if you're watching this, I'm going to get the video going. So, of course, how practical is that real? How much of it is real? How much of it is faked? I mean, I know we're near launch, And usually in that case, whenever a tech demo is near launch, it's pretty close, right? It's not like a fairy tale, but I want to hear kind of your opinion of, because there were new tech in there, the Nanite, I believe, the Lumen, the first time global illumination is really introduced in a practical way. Unreal, right? Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far, but definitely. Like, I think Lumen is interesting, and how, you know, and definitely the approach that they're taking with it is super interesting. And there's a lot of other real-time GI techniques, but it looks like Lumen is kind of combining a bunch and really delivering something, and kind of also leaning on the fact that Nanite is a thing to also help do some of the heavy lifting at a high detail level. Definitely real-time GI is a huge productivity saver for people that are making these levels, and I think that's really a big deal. Nanite, on the other hand, though, I think there's so much implications in like having the budget and the artistic team to even be able to create assets of that quality. Some people are like, oh no, I don't need to create assets of that quality. I could just use Quixel or whatever. Right. But then, you know, you don't want all the games to look the same, right? You want to be able to add your stamp and your artistic touch. Right. So, it's really a high bar for a lot of game dev teams out there to even be able to try to reach. Right. And I have no idea what the asset sizes are on disk, or like, there's so many unanswered questions there. But it's there's no doubt that tech demo is amazing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let's try to break it down. I mean, there's two main systems, as we kind of discuss. There's the Geo one, and they were talking about how, I mean, I think I read into it a bit, where it's kind of like how virtual texturing was kind of introduced in Unreal recently, and the idea is kind of similar to how they apply it to geometry. Do you mind kind of talking more about what the theory is behind that and how they're applying it per pixel, a certain amount of triangles, and so it's just what you see is not exactly.
I don't know all of the details about, like, of course they haven't really released all the details either, right? Of
right.
How the GI system is working. They kind of detail the real. Let me see if I can even find that link again.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something, you know, about at a long distance, you're using a much more coarse representation of the scene, like voxel-based geometry, or geometry that's converted into like a coarse voxel grid, and you use that to kind of do your traces right. against for the GI. And then when it's closer to camera, it's using more detailed information, right? So that's how you could kind of get a large distance on a large scene with real-time GI without like killing your performance, right? Because the further away you are, you use a more coarser approximation, right? so that part is really interesting. And every artist wants to do it with baking and bake steps. They just want to plop in their lights and it just works, right? The one thing to take away, you know, it's one light source, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like usually with these kind of techniques, the more light sources you have, the slower it's going to go, right?
Yeah.
But just doing one main light and having that give you real-time GI is a big improvement over having nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to real-time GI, I think that's really cool. And there's a lot of techniques out there for, like, you know, there's Enlighten that does real-time GI, but that has a big step. There's DDGI. That also has some type of baking involved in, where you have to kind of like bake some sort of occlusion or visibility calculation for the probes that you're doing the GI on. So like that have a system that's truly like no baking and you just drop some lights in. That's actually really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I guess,
and I don't know if it's even no baking, right? So, because I don't know all of the details.
Yeah, the prep work behind it.
Yeah.
The one thing that scares me is how people look at this demo and just especially they haven't done game development, right? They see it as kind of like a skipping step for basically 20 to 30 years of game dev knowledge. It's like, oh, no LLD is done. I guess I shouldn't learn that or how to optimize or any of that technique. It seems like I can just create something in ZBrush, drop it in, light it, call it done, which is foolish, yeah, right?
I think that promise is a little bit of overselling, right? I think it's still to be known how much of this geometry can you have in a game where you're like, hey, my target is 4K, 60 frames a second. How much of your game could be this geometry? Mm-hmm. That's unknown, right? Mm-hmm. I think people ready to abandon all of the things you've learned about how to optimize assets and LODs and all that, hold your horses on that, right?
Right.
And the other thing that was pointed out about this technique too, that I don't think anybody really noticed, is the environment's very static.
Yes.
Right. So when you want actual dynamic movement and stuff like that, it's unclear how this tech translates to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone.
Character artists are still like, damn, I guess I don't have a silver bullet just yet.
Right? Character artists are already thinking this way in current gen, dude. The way they build their props. This is exactly how they are. This is how sloppy they are.
You're hating already.
Bro, the spoiledness of a character artist. At some point, I'm going to write a book on it. It's just ridiculous, dude. I remember this one time where we were so constricted with our levels where we were like, all right, this is the amount of textures, yada, yada, yada. And then basically the character artist would have six times that with a character. It's like, I'll just use one for a finger, another one for an eyeball, 2048 max. But that's just how they think. That's how they are. I mean, in a way, the characters are pretty close to camera. But it's just one of those things I feel. Yeah, I think environment artists, just by the nature of what we do, have a little bit more care with how we optimize and make things work, because the impression of the environment, especially something like what we're seeing right now, you know, making it run, making it look good at the same time that stands up to a well-made character is very important to make it feel like one item, yeah. Right? But I mean, this demo achieved what it needed to achieve, which was impress the shit out of everybody. And it set a high bar. I mean, you got to have these type of things to kind of stretch out, you know, the possibilities. And even if you don't hit that mark every time, you'll still end up pretty close to it, which is in the end a better product for everybody, right? So.
Yeah, I'll say that, like, for like film and TV production, mm-hmm. like this stuff is like really, really promising, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. For games, there's some promise there. It's still very unknown, like in practice, like how will you actually use this?
How did you do it?
And like how will our team, you know, be able to get their vision across with this tech and not go crazy with huge ass assets and take forever to make them and all of that.
Yeah. This part, they're just showing off right here. I mean, this is, that's incredible. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's great.
This one have a demo.
Yeah, it's great. I would say, like, so here's where I'll talk about some of my philosophical beliefs. You know, we're coming into another generation, right?
Yeah.
Of console hardware, and we're showing absolutely amazing graphics, right? Absolutely amazing graphics. Look at these graphics. Look at the level of detail you could get. There's a big difference between these graphics and, like, say, the games of last gen, right? Yeah. But you know, character animation, character movement, all of that is still the same, right? Mm-hmm. they talked about in the video, talk about some advancements they did with like IK and the cloth, the her scarf and all that. Yeah. And yeah, that's cool. But like it's not as big of a leap as these graphics.
You know what are I mean? You saying those disciplines are lazy? Is that what you're saying?
No.
No. They don't do as much.
I would never say that, but what I would say is, and you talk to gameplay guys or animation folks, they'll tell you the same thing. It's like we focus on every gen, we focus on graphics is easy. It's the easy thing to sell. It's the thing that people could obviously see is better. Mm-hmm. And we don't really give a lot of love to some of the other disciplines, right? Mm-hmm. Although like there was a lot of talk in this as well about audio, right? Because audio seems to be something that people want to focus on this gen. And you know, you've worked on games. Every game, you know, audio team gets like, hey, less. You get 2%. Yeah, you could get whatever scraps you have left over in the memory for your little audio, right? And so like now they're, you know, now we're talking about actual like real proper 3D spatial sound and all sorts of modeling of your how you hear and the same sound waves and all this kind of nonsense, right?
Yeah. Can you expand on that nonsense? Because when I heard that, I didn't wear it. It's like, what do you mean 3D sound? I mean, don't we have that? Don't we have that already? Well, can I like, just hear like, where it's coming from? Like, come on, let's get back to the graphics, like, guys.
Like, yeah, exactly right. And I think even most people, unless you're like a serious audiophile, you won't even really notice.
Yeah.
But we have 3D positional sound, right? Sounds over there. It could be behind you, to the left of you, whatever, usually, right? Yeah. But then actually to be able to do proper reverb and it changes based on the room that you're in, and different smaller room has a
so we're talking about so all the effects that used to be done in post-production, you know, same idea like any real-time or, applications, just to hear
or it if you happen. Yeah, or if you were to do it like in a different gen, it would like take up a whole core or take right. up some of the main thread
too much.
To do a lot of those effects, and then you're like, no, audio guys, you got like a half a millisecond or quarter of a millisecond budget for this stuff, right? So you can't really do that stuff, right?
You got 2 weeks.
And this gen, there's a lot of talk about audio processing and audio hardware, specific audio hardware to do this in hardware, right? Yeah. And so it's an audio person's dream, you would think. And so hopefully, you know, more games like focus on that and lead into that as well, not just the graphics, right?
I see, yeah. I agree. I mean, I hear a lot of talk with, with characters especially, they're trying to like finally do something with hair. I mean, it's been the same technique for a few gen now. We're talking about hair simulation, actual physics with the hair, mm-hmm. and really fancy stuff that the film industry have been pioneering for a while now. Same with the cloth, same idea, cloth simulation.
Homegirl's hair is not doing anything special here, though, right? So, mm-hmm. But also, this isn't really the focus of this demo either. Right?
Yeah, the characters in this one, especially, I mean, I felt like it's probably an art direction choice where it felt more like stylized, right? So it wasn't very. I've seen better characters.
This demo is definitely not about the character.
Yeah, it's all about the environment for sure. I mean, it's the most important department of the game pipeline. We make everything work.
Showing your bias.
We create worlds, bro. The Matrix wasn't about, I guess it was about the characters. We were talking about the Matrix, though. Yeah. Anyways.
Kids at home. Video game making is a team sport. Do not listen to Brandon.
Well, I mean, like the lighting system, I mean, you made a valid point to, you know, they really bragged about the GI solution, but it's from a single light source. They didn't really play too much with, this one, they have one light source with one effect source, so two at most. And it seems like the rule still applies in next gen, where too many dynamic lights will kill your processors. That hasn't changed. Especially when
especially if you have to trace, you're tracing rays around, right? So the more you have to do that, and you have to do more of that if you have more light sources, right? So
So this actually leads into my next piece of conversation. So ray tracing the last year and a half, especially starting with that Star Wars demo at GDC, was like the onslaught of the next wave, and we thought we were going to focus on that for the next few years, which we are. But then this whole Lumen system happened. What's your take on that? Is there going to be a combination of two? Is ray tracing going to be better because it's still struggling with just hardware limitations, right? There's not much we can do about that, or what's your opinion about that?
Yeah, I'm not really. I think it's a big topic, right? But generally, I think like part of what Lumen is doing is ray tracing, right?
Yeah.
But just kind of like in software and compute, right? And kind of doing it in a way that's sufficient for this use case, right? And there is like straight up like DXR and NVIDIA demos that show like global illumination, right? But that technique, like doing straight up DXR rendering for the whole of your global illumination, is just not like the cost is still very high, even if you have a 2080 Ti and if you want to run it at like really high resolutions, it's a problem. At high resolutions, right? So some technique like this, like Lumen here, where it's like kind of doing like a three stage approach to generating the GI, is a way of kind of like reducing the cost and getting a believable look, right? So I'm interested to see what more games are going to do. Like I know, like, you know, Gears of War showed they were talking about what was that, ray trace reflections. For Xbox Series X, so I'm curious what more and more games do, to what extent they do ray tracing on the consoles.
So I mean, kind of going back to the original point, right? When people first saw this, especially newbies, I call them noobs, where they saw this demo, where they're like, abandon every type of valuable knowledge that we built up the last 20 years, forget it. Let's just throw all shit to the wall, right? They're talking like film people now.
I wouldn't say the news, only the news are talking like that. Some veterans were super excited about that prospect as well, and some veterans were super. Some veterans were super excited about it, and then kind of joked about it, right? Yeah. And they're like, "Oh, what do you mean? I can just take my ZBrush and drop it straight in? Amazing! I can't wait!" Right? So,
This is where Ronaldo's brain explodes. Gritting his teeth. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Ronaldo's super excited about this too.
Like, he is, right?
I think if you're into graphics and you're making video games.
This is awesome. Yeah, it's exciting. This is why we're in games.
You can't not be excited by this. Like this is really good stuff.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. Like with the last tech demo, right? From all engines, right? Usually near launch for PS4. I feel like a lot of the games actually surpassed those tech demos. They were just kind of talking about Unreal, right? We're talking about Unreal right now. Like I feel like a lot of the later generation, like Last of Us 2, all these other games that have been coming out totally killing it. So do you feel by the end of PS5, maybe not that long, where we're going to see something like this in a playable way where it doesn't seem so impossible?
I think that definitely is a possibility, right? People also bring up like the PlayStation, what was it? Was it the PlayStation 3 or PlayStation 4 demo? The voxel clone tracing one.
Right.
That never actually came out, right? Like,
right.
It never came out in anything that was performant and actually usable. And that was also another cool demo from like way back, right? So like it's very possible too that you never see this in any game or any game reaching this quality either, right? Or you see parts of it, right? You know, you see games where a couple of hero pieces are using this technology, the Nine Eye I'm talking about, and I'm more bullish on Lumen being something that you can use across many games, right? Because I know there's a lot of people working on similar techniques for real-time GI, right? So yeah, like like I think you'll see something like this, and it's possible that this could, this is the benchmark for games to strive to many years down the line on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, right?
Before we continue this week's episode, let's have a word from our sponsor. More and more companies are working remotely, but Parsec for Teams lets game makers break free from the studio and work from anywhere. You can use Parsec for professional and personal use to connect computers at 60 frames per second, ultra high definition video streams with super precise inputs for mouse handling and controller support. Working together is as simple as sharing a link with a teammate. You can then share files, review work, or even work together in a single program. It's the closest thing to being in the same studio. I actually used Parsec for running GDux this year, and it was the greatest way for me to connect to my main computer and for my team to work with me to deliver the best virtual game dev conference. So I definitely see a huge use for remote working, but also playing games with each other. The biggest thing with remote desktop is that there are security concerns. However, Parsec for Teams ensures that only people on your team has access to your projects. Connections are peer-to-peer and encrypted, never touching the backend and features, two-factor authentication, and other security measures that gives you a peace of mind. So like mentioned before, the best use cases using Parsec for Teams is perfect for level design, animation, game development, playtesting, and more, and lets you seamlessly connect programs like Unity, Unreal, Maya, Cinema, 4D, and others. So hundreds of AAA and indie studios are already using Parsec for Teams to stay connected to their work. So go check it out at parsecgaming.com/teams. It seriously is one of the easiest and fastest and reliable remote desktop applications I've ever used, and it's perfect for gamers and game developers alike. So go check it out in the link description below. Now back to this week's episode. Yeah, I would want to bring up this point. Like when people there are general reactions to this is like, oh my god, this is exciting, right? And then there's another type of reaction, and let me just kind of call them burnouts. People who are kind of washed up from the industry, where they look at this as like, and there's a legitimate concern where they feel like the fidelity of what's expected from this type of demo, yeah, from the consumer, from the publishers, yeah, where the team size is not exactly growing, right? And yeah, not everybody is sourcing mega scans that has readily available, yeah, assets to kind of populate the world. They are very concerned with this type of demo and expectation. What's your feeling?
This is how all tech demos are, right? Tech demos are aspirational, right? But yeah, like you need a crazy talented and skilled art team to make this. Mm-hmm. Like you need that, and that is not the majority of the industry, right? This level of quality and this level of detail is not what all game creators want to make. Right. So even though PS5 and Xbox Series X have way more GPU horsepower and way more cores and all this kind of stuff, right? Some people still just want to make I'm just trying to figure like a game that's pretty simple, like Animal Crossing. Right. Yeah. People still just want to make Animal Crossing, and Animal Crossing is making a killing, right? And it's not anywhere near this level of fidelity, because it doesn't need to be, right? Because it's a different type of game. Right. And there's still space for those different types of games. But yeah, those different types of games, and this is historically, I think, true, right? When you want to sell hardware, when you want to sell a console box, right? Nobody wants to see the new version of Animal Crossing to make that decision, right? They want to see what is the absolute maximum that this thing can do? What is the aspirational target of what this box can do? And that's why these tech demos exist.
Yeah, so it's best to kind of just treat this as aspirational and don't be the the worrywart warning about the apocalypse of game development.
Yeah, and I think like if you looked at the Xbox event that happened a while back, all the third party games are going to be coming out on Xbox Series X.
That's none the majority. None of them
are at this quality,
right?
Yeah, none of them are at this quality level, right? And so, like, don't expect every game coming out on that console to look like this here, right?
That's right.
I would expect more of what you saw in that Xbox demos.
To be the norm, definitely. I mean, that's a very interesting point. Like, even with the first party publishers, like their Xbox team and their Sony team or whatever, that seem to have like more stability and infinite resources to kind of deliver these.
But yeah.
This is just going to be a special case type of studio to kind of deliver this, right?
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, right? I think Xbox, we have not seen the Xbox first party stuff.
Right.
Really.
That's true.
We saw Gears, but we haven't seen Halo and all that other stuff, right? We haven't seen the heat that Sony's gonna come with on PS5 first party, right? Like, we have no idea, right?
Yeah. June 3rd or something? They announced their event, so that's actually that's last week if you're watching this.
Did they actually announce? I heard that was like a rumor.
They just announced it today, where they're going to have an actual PlayStation 5 event. They're going to keep the what's the lead engineer, Mark Cena, as far away from the premises as possible.
His name is Cerny, by the way.
Cerny, Mark Cerny. Yeah. To keep away from the premises of this presentation event. They're trying to get people interested, not lull people to quarantine sleep. Right. So it's going to be I think that's when they're going to show stuff.
Yeah. I expect to see like heat. I expect to see stuff that looks really nice. That's what I'm expecting. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right, man. I mean, that's pretty much it. I think everybody was super. We kind of turned this into like a slightly better than developers reacting to Unreal Engine 5. I've been seeing that pop up like every time you see it. It's like, oh my God, have we gone that low? This is more a discussion. I have a fancier set.
Trust me, I think when this video came out, I was in a meeting.
Yeah.
And then my phone was just vibrating. I was getting messages all over the place. People were freaking out. Like, let's just be real. This
broke the internet.
This was a topic of discussion in every single game dev studio around the world.
It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think between PS3 to PS4, I saw a demo that was just this exciting. Yeah. It's been a while for us, I believe. It just feels so out of grasp. And even with discussing this, we have no idea how they put it together. They haven't really shared too much details about it, except for maybe combining a lot of the techniques that you're saying that we have now to leverage the fakery, right?
I wouldn't even say how much of this is really fake. Like, I think it's just good. Like, there may be some clever placement of things, and like, you know, so of course it's a controlled camera, right?
Right.
But it's just, you know, I can't say it's fake. I gotta say it's really good.
It's really good. This is why everybody who makes a demo for a game needs to have that marketing guy in there, because I feel like they really nailed the beats. It's like, all right, here's a statue from ZBrush, right? I was like, oh, this is pretty cool, I guess. Yeah, here's a room full of them. I was like, oh, okay. It's like, I know it's been a static environment this whole time. Let's just jump through it real quick. I was like, what the fuck? They really nailed it, man. I feel like the beats were awesome. They just upped it every 2 seconds. Yeah.
Marketing machine is on point for sure.
But it's not just the marketing. It's like it's an impressive, like, it felt like everybody was in the room to give their take. And I feel like a lot of these gameplay demos, unless the designer is really on top of their game and understand that side, a lot of people miss that, you know, thinking of it like music, right? Every like a minute or so, something has to happen to really keep you engaged. It's been a while since I've seen a demo like that. And they really nailed it.
It takes a lot to get everybody on the same page to deliver something like this, for sure.
Yeah. All right. I mean, we spent a good amount of discussion talking about Unreal 5. Let me kind of switch over. The other game that is more within our grasp finally has a release date, and I kind of want to talk about it a bit. And I didn't see this whole thing. I didn't see this whole thing just yet. And so this is actually kind of my first time watching this with you, Ray. That's how important you are to me. So,
Oh, wow. I feel so special.
All right. You broke in the set. Oh, actually, this is after G-Duck. So,
I think you're doing this video a disservice as well.
This is a bad one.
This is great, but showing it at such a terrible resolution.
All right, here we go. I can cut the full screen. This is cool. So I'm actually playing through Last of Us finally. All right. I've heard good things, so I'm gonna play through it.
Yeah. I never finished Last of Us actually.
I
definitely enjoy it. I enjoy what I played, right?
Right. Yeah, so it was a PS2 game, and it was pretty impressive for looking that
game.
The
game is intense, right? The game's pretty intense. Like, yeah. Let's be real. I didn't play it on PS2, actually. It was on PS3, and then I played it on PS4.
Oh, so it got released on PS3. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and then they ported it to PS4.
I see. You're right. Yeah, PS3 game. Yeah, still impressive as a PS3 game. Sony, man, it's something Xbox is completely jealous of, where they just release hits. It's a instant classic every time. They really nail it. It comes with the price, right? Pretty much, from what I heard, with all their Sony studio, they're really crazy with development, and the pressure is very high for each of them. That's intense. What the fuck? Shit.
Dude, this is not even the most intense thing in that video. Like, it's pretty dark and intense, this whole thing.
But this looks great. I mean, the characters look great. This is within expectations. And this even looks more like kind of what we've seen so far from the Xbox event. I'm sure their first party is going to look better. But this is what we were led up with before the Unreal 5 demo. So that's why it was just so crazy when we saw it. Yeah.
This is cream of the crop, current gen graphics, you know, and just everything about it. But just not even the graphics, right? Like, there's the one thing I really notice about this this demo, like, as you keep going through it and everything, or just gameplay video of it, right? The amount of animations, state changes, the amount of things that the player can do is crazy, right? And then it also all looks great and it flows. The animation looks great. Change of animation looks great. I don't really see it smooth, fluid. Like, it's this is good. And there's just mechanics and gameplay galore, right? It's really good.
I mean, when they're talking about that, how those departments have been slacking, right? So is it just... So I don't understand animation as much because it's not what I do, right? Are we talking about just more animation? Are we talking about contextual animation? Are we talking about more in-between animation to kind of make this feel a little bit more fluid? Behind it that's making it work better?
Maybe there's more new tech behind it too, right? But you need all of that, right? You need animation. You need a close collaboration with also the animation programmer and the animators, and to make sure that, you know, you can and set it up, state machines or blend trees or whatever the tech is for the animation side of things, right? And just make sure that it all works together, all seamlessly, and then the player is moving and using a controller and getting those inputs and making it feel right and not look janky if the player just wiggles the joystick. I think there's a lot that goes into this looking good and all of these different 3Cs, like crouching with a gun, swimming, you know, using all these different sized weapons and melee shooting, you know, bow and arrow. Like, there's a lot here, like a lot, right? And it all looks really good.
Yeah, I wonder what happened because what was the tech that like GTA kind of, I feel like LucasArts was the first that kind of introduced it with the animation system that had contextual
behavior. Was it behavior?
No, something like that.
Where
it was real time reaction, and it wasn't like, maybe it was supplied animation, but it was more about reacting to environment. I haven't like seen that. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, this feels like it has some of that, but it's just something that hasn't been as popular in this current gen.
No, I think it's something people still do. It's just also costly, right? Like procedural animation. You can see there, she had her hand on the wall, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of like procedural animation that you lay on top of the keyframed or hand animated stuff, right?
Yeah.
And you do that in those contextual use cases to give it more feeling, right? Mm-hmm. And it's subtle, but like it just feels right. So I do see some of it in here as well. Mm-hmm. But I think like when GTA and the Star Wars, Star Wars game called?
Force Unleashed.
Yeah. Like when they were doing that stuff too, but it was like super janky and still very new tech at the time and not great, right? So people have kind of done a lot of advancements since then, like around that stuff. And then definitely you see some of it here. It looks good. It looks great.
It does look good. It looks great. I mean, I'm trying to look at the character stuff. I mean, it seems, you know, the hair is bouncing and stuff like that, but like the way they made the characters is still very similar to what we're used to.
Just cloth animation to you see on their arms. The running's a little, but this is really good. And then how the camera transitions to, you know, from like gameplay camera to, okay, now I'm in here, I'm going to get out of here. And the camera's like showing you key areas of interest where it wants to draw your attention. Like it's just, the level of detail is crazy. So I watched this and I was like, I'm going to play this. Even though I didn't even finish the first one, I'm like, I think I'm going to have to play this.
I mean, what games you don't play? Besides like first person shooters,
there's a lot of games I don't play, but this kind of stuff, you just have to take a look at it,
experience it.
So,
I mean, what besides like, Sony studios, do you feel like their studios are kind of like at the bleeding edge on average in terms of publisher consistently, graphically, gameplay, everything? Who's your favorite?
I'll definitely say like, you know, Naughty Dog and Insomniac and Guerrilla are at the top of that list for me these days. But then also I think Ninja Theory, always has something hot to come with whenever they make something. And you know, Microsoft, you know, like they showed Help Susuna Sacrifice or whatever, like the next one, right? At the video game awards, they showed us a short clip of a character like chanting or something, and that looked absolutely incredible, right? Mm. So if they're gonna make a full game that looks like that at that quality, it's gonna be amazing, you know what I mean? So, but the list of like consistent, really high quality stuff, always on point, is not that long. Yeah,
it's getting shorter.
I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody, I can't. Nothing is coming to mind right away.
I feel like this. Well, let's compare that, right? Just as a little fun way to kind of end this episode is. We're near the end. We're about to see the cards from Sony finally, and more from first party Xbox, which is probably later in the summer. How do you feel like this last gen stacked up to how the PS3 era gen ended as a whole. Were you pretty impressed with it? Was it as just on par as expected? Or did you feel like we made a pretty big leap?
I don't think we made some huge strides, right? Between PS3 and PS4, like naturally.
Yeah.
But I felt like the difference between 1080p and 720p is noticeable.
Yeah.
But then like 1080p to 4K,
it's huge.
It's less so actually. Yeah. Only if like if you have a big ass TV and you sit close to it, yeah, like you're gonna notice some differences, right? But like, yeah, and then also like this generation, a lot of games don't run at like native 4K, right?
4K,
they're doing dynamic sampling, dynamic upsampling, and yeah, a lot of tricks to keep the frame rate great when you are just do like, you know, 1440 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Or 900p or whatever, right? Like there's many different resolutions games run at these days to get performance and still look good, right?
Yeah.
And I still think the difference like with between 4K and 1080p is like not that big of a difference. The one of the tech that came around this generation that I thought was a bigger difference was like HDR versus non-HDR.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you look at some of these games on HDR display, like it's noticeable when they do a good job in mm-hmm. their presentation of the HDR image, right?
It's a bigger range, yeah.
Yeah, like Red Dead Redemption looks really nice on an HDR display.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a big thing, right? And now one of the things that I've been talking about a lot, I'm hearing more and more people talk about, is 60 frames. Like, so the next generation, I hear more talk of 4K 60.
Right.
And I think 60 frames is a way bigger difference.
Yeah.
Than 1080 to 4K.
Okay. I mean, that definitely lasted a lot longer. We only went two topics, but it was a big one. It's basically all about Unreal and Sony. I wonder what other engine out there can match that, right, Ray? Looking forward to hearing the competition. I mean, when I talked to Renato, you sound pretty cocky about what you guys got up your sleeve. So I'm pretty excited to see what you guys got going.
I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff happening. That like not Unity stuff, but I'm just talking like there's a lot of cool stuff happening in the industry right now.
Yeah.
And you know, folks are thinking of new ways of getting players involved and thinking of we have this new tech that's kind of making like my current PC look like a pile of crap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about what people are gonna really do and the kind of the level of quality they could get. I want to see 60 being kind of a de facto standard, right? If you're not running 60, like what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that folks are going to be like, nah, we're just going to run 30 and just make it, you know, just go crazy with the graphics, right? So
yeah,
you're probably going to see both sides of that equation this next gen.
Okay.
And I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I mean, what else are we going to do? We're all stuck at home. We have only, it's only just gonna be Ray buying these systems, man. Who else is gonna have enough money by then?
Yeah, when you light up to get your console, you're gonna have to have a mask on and be 6 feet.
I know, dude. The one thing that has been kind of taking a back seat has been VR or other type of systems. Like Sony.
Actually,
go ahead.
You know what? You just reminded me, because I actually just recently, you know how I'm always on here picking up Beat Saber,
right?
And I finally got a quest, Oculus Quest.
Oh, you finally got it? Okay, how you like it?
Yeah, and I've been playing Beat Saber, and that game is legit.
Forget like, the game. Did you feel the gear? Like it made a step upgrade from what you expected where it should be?
No, Aqua's Quest, like there's a reason why Aqua's Quest is selling out.
Yeah. It's Period. Cheap.
There's a reason.
Yeah.
It's not just that it's cheap, right? But yeah. It's very, very good. It's very good. Right. Like
Sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah. I have a Vive and I have Oculus Quest and it feels like night and day. Like it's really good.
Are you talking about the comfortability or are you talking about, because graphic wise, it doesn't match up to your PC, right? I mean, what type of graphics are we talking about here?
Well, I think in the Quest, the screen resolution is higher than what's in the Vive, right? The fact that it's not tethered to my PC and I can still get pretty decent, like the graphics are good, right? And the tracking, and I can move around the room, not be tethered. And like, if it's a completely different experience without the tethering, like it's really good. And then like Beat Saber is also just my jam, right? Like yeah. It's my type of game where it's kind of, you can take it really serious and get really competitive with it, or you can just have fun with it, right? And I play Beat Saber on my Quest, and I'm like, I've been playing way more Beat Saber on my Quest than I have been playing Half-Life Alyx.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, you're you're trending backwards. Yeah,
I'm just saying. Like, if you played it on a Quest, like you'll be like, okay, yeah, I see the appeal of this. I see what's happening.
I do want to try the Quest. I got the other one, the Rift S, because I didn't know the Quest would detether at one point. So it sounded like it works fine doing that. So you have the best of both worlds. You can actually carry things around.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, I mean, I'm looking forward. I mean, I think Sony, if anything, will have something very clever. I feel like they have the most VR sets sold. They have the best reach. It's just their upgrades are slower, obviously. So hopefully they talk about it a bit. I don't know. Maybe the June event won't be about that at all.
Yeah. I would imagine they just talk about the console and the games. And if there is VR, it will be like next year sometime. They'll be like, hey, so now we're adding VR to this thing. Right.
Yeah.
That's what I would imagine. But,
okay.
I have no idea.
We have both no idea. Well, I mean, it's been eventful. I want to thank you for dropping by my new pad. So maybe the next time we meet, I will leave this motel and actually get my studio again. Yeah, man. It's awesome production values, dude. Yeah.
You gotta big up your environment art and be like, yo, see how dope I am?
I need some the next Unreal, yeah. Dude. I need some Lumen Nanite to kind of put more rocks on one side. Dude, my sets are gonna look insane, dude. Are you crazy? I just need to render videos, man. People are gonna be reacting to my virtual sets, dude. That's how popular it's gonna be. It's like, let's react to.
You're gonna make the room one big ZBrush object and just drop it in.
I'm just gonna have a bunch of statues behind me for no reason, right? Because that's what the demo's about. Here's some Quixel mega scans at 8K rocks because we can. That's why. So as always, it's a pleasure talking to you, man. I know it's super late out there, so I want to thank you for your time. Yeah, this is the last time you're gonna see the G-Duck set. And we're gonna retire this set until the end of the year. All right, I'm gonna leave it back on to Ray. Cameras keep shutting off. I want to thank you guys for your time. I'll see you guys next month. This is a Roundtable News episode. Be safe out there, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you are liking the podcast, go to the Apple iTunes store and give Game Dev Unchained a 5-star rating. This will help spread the joy and love and exposure for the podcast, and we thank you very much. If you want to continue the conversation, go to our Discord, which can be found on our website, www.gamedevunchained.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at BlueChamps, BlueChamps. You want to catch these episodes live every Tuesdays and Thursdays, go to twitch.tv/blue_champs. Email me any of your concerns or questions that you want me to read aloud at the beginning of each episode at info@gamedevunchained.com. And if you want to further support us and help unlock the next feature, which is the voicemail feature, go to patreon.com/BlueChamps. This gives listeners a chance to kind of call in, leave a message for both me and the guests to answer your deepest, darkest questions and comment on your deepest, darkest secrets. Thank you, everybody.